Welcome to Pastor Goss Sunday School Class, a weekly gathering in the main fellowship hall of Faith Assembly, North Fort Myers, Florida, featuring the insightful and relevant teaching of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. Thank you for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Peace in fearful times. We're going to leave the subject of relationships. I know you're all sad about that. But you've all got it down so well now that we don't need to deal with it anymore, right? Yeah, good. So we're going to talk about the big issue of peace, and that's fear. Proverbs 1:33, all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. That's a big statement. Now, sometimes when we think of the opposite of peace, we think it would be hope or courage or strength. But in reality, the opposite of peace is probably faith. The opposite of fear is faith. Yes. I got my people up here who correct me, so I'm good. So we live in a culture that is filled with fear. And we as Christians don't need to be afraid because we are people of faith. And faith says, I believe God is here and God will take care of me. And if something happens, God will take care of me. And no matter what transpires, God will provide. God will protect. God will do whatever needs to be done, and he will help me no matter what happens. Fear says, oh no, if this happens, I don't know what I'm going to do. And so rather than focus on the fear, we have to focus on the faith, because we need to focus on sometimes we focus on what might become a reality rather than focus on what we know is true. We know what God is, who he is, and we know what he's promised. It's true. The other things, it might happen. We don't know that. And so in this battle of peace, the one issue you're going to have to address is your fears. And we all have them. And we live in a culture that feeds fear. It just keeps pushing it. And so we have to reject that and not buy into it. Because if we're not careful, we begin to believe what everybody's saying. And we begin to look at things like they look at it, and that's not the way we need to live. Because if you live that way, you're not going to have peace ever. Ever. So we're going to take a look at some healthy, some unhealthy fears and some ways that works. And then we're going to talk about how do I address fear. I think we'll get through this today. Maybe. But if not, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, the Sunday's coming. We got another week. So first one, this is a healthy fear. The fear of sin's consequences. You see, we live in a day and time where nobody's afraid of sin. But you and I should be afraid of, you know what? Sin has consequences. And if I do certain things that are wrong, there is going to be a consequence because of it. And I need to understand that. And that consequence I won't like. And so I don't want to do something that is wrong before God because I know what you sow, you reap. That's a healthy fear. That's a good fear. We see it in Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Lord called to the man, where are you? Now, again, whenever God asks a question, he's not asking for information. He already knows, okay? He's just checking to see if you know. And so he replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid. Because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked? The Lord God asked. Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? You see, A recognition of our sin always makes us feel exposed and vulnerable to God's judgment. And judgment was coming to Adam and Eve, wasn't it? You did this, so this is going to be the price you pay. And I don't think sometimes we have enough fear of what sin's consequences are. You know, yes, we serve a God who forgives. But we also serve a God who is righteous and just. And he doesn't always just wipe away the consequences of sin. Adam and Eve, they had some consequences. He forgave them, but they had consequences. So it's a good thing to fear the consequences of sin. Agreed? Questions here? Okay, secondly, this is pretty normal, a fear of danger and harm. Now, this fear wasn't necessary until Adam and Eve sinned. But once they did, fear comes to be a part of who we are and what we have to deal with. And so there's a natural thing. They say, I'm probably going to get this wrong as I start to say it, a baby is born with two fears. Anybody know that? Uh-huh. Falling and loud noises. You watch them jump, something happens. So it's inbred within us. You know, you should have the fear of a hot stove. You should have the fear of crossing traffic that's heavy. Okay? There's fears that you should have that are healthy fears. For your health's sake, you need to have them. And so you and I have to understand there's healthy fears, but those fears should never paralyze us. We're going to talk about that probably a little bit more, but they shouldn't paralyze. All of us have a phobia, but it shouldn't create panic. All of us have certain things we're afraid of. And well, let's be, there's fear of danger of harm. Let me stop there. I'm going to get into another thing. Thirdly, a fear of evil. Spiritual dangers are just as real as physical dangers. And you know, there's a time that you need to be, have you ever been around somebody and it was just like, this person is just evil? Now, I'm not talking about your spouse. Okay. But, you know, you're just evil. We got evil in our world today. And so you don't like evil. And so how do you fight evil? You fight evil with prayer. Right? Because it's not in the physical realm, it's in a spiritual realm. And it doesn't cause us to be dreadful. It doesn't cause us to be panicked. It doesn't have to make us afraid of stuff. We just understand there is a realm that exists that is real, that I recognize is here, and I need to be in prayer about it. Then another fear is the fear of disobeying God. Similar to the consequences of sin, but God says, look, and it's a dynamic I think we all wrestle with. God is love and doesn't want us to be afraid of him. But God is just and wants us to be afraid of him. And that's a tension we have to live with. As a parent, I'll just have to use me because I'm not, I shouldn't use me. There's no such thing as a perfect parent, but as a parent, one of the things you want to impress upon your kids, I love you, you can love me, I mean, care, you can trust me, love, love, kissy, kissy, you know, all that kind of stuff. But over here, I also want you to know I have a big hammer and a big stick, and if you do things wrong, judgment's coming. And a parent has to balance those. If you go too hard on one and not the other, it creates dysfunction. If you make it out of balance, it creates difficulty. Thus, a lot of kids, a lot of adults have struggled trusting God because they had a parent so far this way that, oh, no, I could never love a God like that. And so we go, oh, you should never be afraid of God. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so there's this fear of disobeying God. I want to please him. I want to do what's right. I because sin has a consequence. I want to do that. At the same time, I know I can go to God with whatever's wrong and whatever I've done, and God will forgive me and love me. And we have a hard time with that tension. But I'll just tell you, that tension will never go away. And shouldn't. That's healthy. Is that clear? Is that understandable? And so, you know, we live with that. Oh, God's so good. Yes, he is. God's so loving and kind. You bet he is. God is full of grace and mercy. Oh, is he? God's just. Hell's real. There is discipline for those who disobey. Both are true. And they're not exclusive to the other, because in the world we live in, well, if you love somebody, then you never do anything hurtful or hard. No, it's not true. Parents who love their kids discipline their kids. If you don't discipline your kid, you don't love them. All right? Good? All right. So let me give you a single unhealthy fear. And that can be real or imagined fears. What we've talked about are the real ones, but imagined fears are those that just really are things in my mind that I have created over time, and they persist and they grow, and you develop what we would call a spirit of fear. It enslaves you, it controls you, we could call it a phobia. There's many things we can call this with, and so you become someone who is controlled by that fear, and that fear could be real, could be imagined, but it's not healthy. The fears we've talked about are healthy. Now, here's the thing. We think our fears are justified, and your fears are stupid. Oh, I'm afraid of spiders. Come get that. Why are you afraid of these little things? They're not going to hurt you. What's the big deal? Whack. You know? You know, pick something. We've all got them, don't we? And so, rattlesnakes, yeah, that's a healthy fear, though. And so we have to understand that we all have to wrestle with these, and some of them are imagined, but they shouldn't get to a point where they're unhealthy and you have a phobia about it, where you can't sleep at night because you know that when you sleep, the spiders come out. I'm just making this good for you, aren't I? Mission accomplished. Let's go. Yeah. And so, oh, I can't do this, and I can't do this, and you can't go somewhere because you're afraid of this, and we can't get in traffic because what if somebody does this, and we can't go there because this might happen, and we can't go here. That's unhealthy. Now, here's what psychiatrists, psychologists, however, here's what they tell us. The studies have confirmed that if you see a bear, there's a fear that comes on you, especially if it shows up. If you see a shadow in your house or outside that looks like a bear, that fear is just as intense and real as the fear of seeing the real thing. So your imagined fears become as real as the real fears. And you and I have to learn how to live in this world and understand, okay, I have a fear of this. It's me. It's my imagination. I'm making it worse than it needs to be. I need to not let that control me. I need to not let that create fear in my life. You know, there's all kinds of fears that are there that we could go through that, you know, show Hoarders, horrible show. But what is it? It's a person who has all this stuff and they're afraid. What if I get rid of this? That's a fear that's unhealthy. And so there's a lot of fears that exist today that are in us that we need to understand and know that It doesn't help us. It shouldn't paralyze us. It shouldn't limit us. And so what we have to ask ourselves, is this fear normal? And does it enslave me or paralyze me? Does it control me to some degree? And what does God say about this? Does he say this is something I should fear? Does he say he's sufficient to meet all my needs and will take care of me? Who knows? I had another event this week, interesting with me. Anyway, I was in Best Buy about a month ago and went to pull something off and picked up a little bitty box and suddenly felt a big snap go on in my arm. And then about 2-3 days later, it was all bruised. This probably isn't good. So I made an appointment with the orthopedic guy and went Friday. He looks at the x-rays and says, what kind of medication are you on? And I go, well, I'm taking this, and you know, I got some pain pills I take every now and then. And he goes, wow, most people be taking a lot more. And what he told me was my rotator cuff was tore years ago and has created another place in the shoulder that it rotates out of. And it's been that way for years, probably from the accident. Another thing you just keep finding out. And that this muscle going down here has been pulling all the weight for years. And it snapped. And so I'm thinking, okay, another surgery. But I don't have to be afraid. People go through those surgeries all the time, right? You know, you go through that. I'm not done yet. I don't want to talk to you. And so I said, well, is there an exercise I can do to build this up? He goes, you don't have anything to exercise. It's done. Next time you see me, it's surgery. And so, you know, I can live being afraid. I don't need to. Can I control that? Can I fix that? No. But see, some people, oh, I can't have surgery. I can't do this. I don't want to face this. I don't want to do this. Well, caution is good. But there's a fine line between caution and fear. And when fear controls and says, I don't care, I'm never going to let a doctor do that to me again, you've crossed the line. And there's many lines in life that we can cross if we're not careful, right? And so I have to understand there's some unhealthy fears that are there. Yes, sir. Well, in fact, I'll tell you, funny you should ask. My doctor told me all this, so I pulled out my cell phone. I said, would you mind calling my wife? And he calls her, and I said, here, I answered. I said, here, doctor wants to explain this to you. Because, you know, here, I know when I get home, I'm going to have to explain all this. And I know that she's not going to believe me. You know how it goes, right? Am I the only one? You know, that's, oh, come on. So the doctor says, hi, here's what he's got, and he needs to play more golf. True story. Okay? Yeah, I have a great doctor, you know. My wife goes, did he bribe you? And he said, he doesn't have that much money. Matthew 10:28. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and we got these fears, and then we develop a way to cope that's unhealthy. And then we wonder why we have problems. Jesus addresses this in such a perfect way. It's harsh. It's hard. But notice what he says in Matthew 10:28. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, that's pretty brutal. But there's a great truth there, isn't there? that I need to look at things in a right perspective of what's going on. So there's healthy fears that you need to have, but there's a many unhealthy fears that you need to address. The unhealthy fears, you maybe can't get rid of a fear of spiders, or maybe going to be there, but don't let them cripple you and don't let them control you. All right? Just carry a big newspaper with you or something, a big spray gun, you know, I don't know. Or, hey, honey, would you come here and get this for me? You know, that type of thing, something. Hey, I got a bad shoulder. I can't do that stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I got another one. Yes. Okay. So how do we overcome fear? How do we deal with this? So let me give you some steps. First of all, admit the fear you experience. Be honest about it. Admit it. God, I'm afraid of this. God, you see what's going on inside of me. Don't try to cover it up. Don't try to make excuses for it. Well, you don't understand. Something happened when I was a kid, and therefore I'm afraid, you know, because of, you know, I don't want to be in the dark. I don't want to be locked in closet. You know, I had this happen. Okay, I understand that, but don't let that be an excuse for you to continue on an unhealthy fear. Admit it. I have this fear. Psalm 55, verse 8. My heart pounds in my chest. The terror of death assaults me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me. I can't stop shaking. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. I'd fly away and rest. I would fly far away to the quiet of the wilderness. Now, there's a guy who's honest. Honest. Because we've all wanted to fly away at some time, haven't we? We all have. So that's where it begins. I need to, don't, well, I got this little fear. It's just harmless. No, it's not. Not if it's unhealthy. So I've got this fear that I got to deal with. And sometimes, here's the deal. That fear might keep you from going places and doing things that God wants you to do. And you can't let that happen. So I got to admit it. Okay, I deal with this issue. So face up to it. Secondly, ask immediately for God's help. Okay, God, I've got this. I'm going to need you to help me. I'm not going to be able to do this well on my own. I just need you to take care of me. I need you to help me conquer this. I need you to help me think right. I need your thoughts when I start going down this road. I need you to help me in my mind. I need you to help me do things that are positive. Psalm 34, verse 4. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. You know, that's what God will do. So I need to ask him for help. But you can't ask for help until you're willing to admit it's a problem. So honesty comes first. I've got a fear issue. It's not healthy. I need to not let this control my life. I'm not saying it has to go away and I'll never be afraid again, but I am saying I'm not going to let it control my life. And I admit it. And I've got to deal with it. And where I'm going to start is, God, I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need you to work with me to deal with this, to get through this, to get over this, to conquer this, to handle this in a way that's correct. All right? Then, and this is a big one, assess the root fear. Okay, God, here's what I'm feeling. What's the cause? God, I'm afraid of our finances. What's the cause? It could be greed. I want more. It could be, I don't trust God because at one point I didn't have some problem with finances, and I know what it's like to live without. A lot of people in our older generation, I went through that depression. I went through that. I'm afraid that might happen again. I've got to prepare for this. You know, that's an unhealthy fear. What's the root cause? When did it start? Why is it there? Well, I'm afraid if I do this, then there's a fear of rejection. So you're just afraid that somebody's going to reject you because maybe something else happened or something, you know? Or I've done this, and God, I'm just afraid somebody's going to find me out. And guilt. Guilt is a type of fear. Guilt always has fear with it. And at the heart of guilt is, I'm going to get found out. A fear of failure. I lack confidence. I've been told I'm no good all my life. I don't think I can do this. That's an unhealthy fear. Well, I'm not getting my way. Anger. I'm an angry person. Why? Well, I'm afraid. Won't get what I want. Won't get what I think. You know, jealousy. I believe that's mine. I should have that, not them. I'm afraid I won't have as much as they do. I'm afraid they're going to get more. Well, what if I make a wrong decision? Well, then indecisiveness is a root cause of that. What if I do something and it's wrong? Just let me tell you, sometimes it's better to do something wrong than to do nothing at all. And sometimes if God's prodding me, we resist what God wants us to do because we're afraid we might fail. And we forget that if God's with us, he'll take care of us.
Back it up just for a moment.
Okay.
Fear of failure, I think, can be a very good...
Hold it. You're not... Are you on? Now try it.
Now.
There you go.
Thank you. Fear of failure can be, I think, a very good fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because there can be people that throughout your life that have told you that you really can't do things or you'll never be a success. And it's driven into you, and you mm-hmm. have this fear that it might be true. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm not good enough. I've said this once before, but in the ministry, there was a senior pastor that I had that had said, you'll never make it in the ministry, and you'll never do good. Well, it's not good when your senior pastor tells you tells it that way. And I said, he must be wrong. God called me to this, and so I want to follow it and see what God says rather than what somebody else has said. So when somebody tells you can't do something because you're not qualified, it can be something that's very positive that says, I feel that I am, and if God is for me, who wouldn't be against me, even a senior pastor?
Yep. So. And that's the hard thing about all this. Somebody tells you you're not qualified. It could be. You're not qualified, okay? It could be that they just don't know you and it becomes a motivation for you to do what needs to be done. So either way, you can't let the fear of that direct your steps. You can use it to help you become what God wants you to become. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
I'm not going to let
this spirit take over. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking, God, I said, hey, I don't want to be a good guy. Right. And you want to put it off and don't go.
Yeah.
See, the root cause of most fear is a lack of trusting God. We just don't trust God enough. Yes, ma'am. Oh, no, she's standing up. Oh, okay.
What was the good part? My basis of trust was not in God. I had not looked to him to be my provider. If we have our root trust in the wrong place, we will be afraid. If you put your trust in God,
Yeah. Yeah. You clap, but think of this. When she gave me to God, I got in a car wreck. Yeah. Come on. So what's going on here? Yes. Right. Yep. 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 You know, oh, what do you do with hurricanes? They come and go. And either way, God will take care of us. He'll help us. We don't have to be afraid. But have you ever noticed the fear that happens with people? You see, we live in a culture that feeds that. So I need to assess the root cause. I need to know what's causing it. And then I need to apply God's word. I need to apply God's word. You see, it's not my thoughts. Why do I apply God's word? So that I have the right thoughts in my mind. Yes. Right. 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 At that point, I think you keep doing what you were doing. You keep feeding God's word into your life. You keep putting the good thoughts, the right thoughts into your life. God's got this. God will take care of me. Worst that happens, some stuff floods. Worst that happens, I lose some stuff. You know, but God's going to be in this and God's going to help me. And I think you just have to keep doing that. Well, but see, look at it this way. If you hadn't been doing that, how much worse would it have been? Ask your husband. He'll tell you. You know, so it's taking God's word and just keeping it central focus in our life. Isaiah, this passage here is just wonderful about how we can think and how we can look at things. It says, I have called you back from the ends of the earth, saying, you are my servant. I have chosen you and will not throw you away. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged. I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. See all your angry enemies lie there, confused and humiliated. Anyone who opposes you will die and come to nothing. You'll look in vain for those who tried to conquer you. Those who attack you will come to nothing. For I hold you by your right hand. I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you. Now, this next verse is a reality check. Though you are a lowly worm, that's perspective, isn't it? Though you are a lowly worm, oh, Jacob, don't be afraid. I don't deserve it. I'm a lowly worm. But don't be afraid, people of Israel. I will help you. I am the Lord your Redeemer. I am the Holy One of Israel. Wow. He knows who we are. We're but dust. And yet he says, don't be afraid. I'm going to help you. And so when the hurricane's coming, the mind's going, it's stuff like this that reminds you, hold it. God's going to be faithful. God's going to do this. And so you just have to apply God's word into your mind, because your mind will want to go another direction. And you have to keep it focused on what is true and right, and not get off track on where it wants to go, because it wants to go to the fear place. Right. Yes.
Even the psalmist said he was shaking.
Yep. Right. I admit it. I want to fly away. But God, I know you're here. I know you'll help me. I know you'll see me through this. You know, patient of surgery, one thing I learned to do. Okay, I'm in a surgery. How many people have had this before me? A lot. How many of them have died? Very few. What are my odds? My odds are pretty good. Everybody else gone through it. I'll get through it too. And so you just learn to put that into your head so that you don't give in to the fear that wants to come up and take you. Right. You keep building that muscle of faith. Keep doing it. Yes. Right. Right. Yeah. You know, everybody says what Naomi said. What Naomi said. What about me? Never mind. No. Yeah, now I know. Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. See, those promises become big. There's a lot of promises in God's word that you have to hold on to. I praise him for what he's promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? Wow. So I got to fill, you know, my head with that. Put it there. And, oh, go ahead. Yeah. Well, and the other place you go to, we read, remember Matthew? Don't be afraid of them, be afraid of God. That answers that question right there. That ties into what we've already read. And so that becomes a big thing. I'll trust in God. He's promised. I can trust him. He'll be faithful.
If you would like to hear more from Pastor Goss or the Ministry of Faith Assembly, please go to our website, faith.ag, or email Pastor Goss at phil@faithnfm.com. Pastor Goss Sunday School Class is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening.